o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch begins now, and it begins with the weekend preview.
My special weekend preview music, royalty free.
Well, I would think that if you weren't an ESPN affiliate, you would have to pay some sort of royalty.
Well, that's true. I think this one, for whatever reason, is okay. So until they tell us otherwise, we're good on YouTube and Spotify.
This is an easy
else.
One. Wisconsin's volleyball national championship on Sunday. That's what I want to watch.
That would have been an option had they pulled it off after going up two sets to one last night.
Yeah, on big ABC, too, right?
Yeah,
on
the ABC,
big network.
2:30 on Sunday afternoon. Kentucky and Texas A&M meeting in an all-SEC national championship match.
Didn't the Big Ten have the most teams in the tournament?
They did. 9 teams. No. The NFL slate. We'll talk more about the college football playoff a little bit later in the show. The NFL slate this weekend. Eagles Commanders, your appetizer before Packers Bears on Saturday, 4 o'clock on Fox.
Marcus Mariota.
Scout the Eagles. Commanders are out of it. Then your Sunday games. Wide open slate on Sunday with no Packers game and no Badgers volleyball.
Well, I know which one I'm watching.
Bills-Browns. Noon Sunday on CBS.
That ain't it.
This one, according to the NFL coverage map, the state is divided in half. Madison may get one game. Milwaukee may get another. I have a feeling this may change as we get closer to kickoff.
Would a quick question before you give that. Mm-hmm. So would someone like, say, Ashton Rotman or Tier 2 demoted Tyler, if and when he does move to Oconomowoc, would they be able to get both games?
No. According to the NFL coverage map that I saw on online this morning.
You checked specifically about
I always do. Well, I checked the Milwaukee TV market and the Madison TV market.
Okay.
The Milwaukee
Which
TV...
Which one is Oconomowoc in?
Milwaukee.
Okay.
The Milwaukee TV market slated to get Chargers-Cowboys.
How about Johnson's Creek? Which one's Johnson's Creek?
Good one.
I think they're Milwaukee.
What about Exonia?
Right. I'm not Google.
I love Exonia.
Ask ChatGPT. Chargers-Cowboys, noon Sunday on Fox in Milwaukee, according to the coverage map. Vikings-Giants.
Why are they playing in Milwaukee?
No, no.
I love Amfam Field. I'll tell you what. I love that they're getting more revenue out of Amfam. We got to get those Brewers a little more cash, put NIL money for them. I like that.
I cannot tell you how much it bothers me right now that I found that funny.
I shouldn't even have brought this up. I should have just said here.
So if you had rabbit ears, though, if you had like the rabbit ears on your TV, you could potentially get both.
Theoretically, if you have the rabbit ears and you live in Johnson Creek, you could get both of these games if you can get both TV signals.
Glad you brought it up.
Although,
what is the line for our YouTube dwellers?
My God.
Can you tell us what the line of demarcation is between Madison and Milwaukee TV market?
Lake Mills is Madison. Johnson Creek, I believe, is Milwaukee.
Oh, that's right there. So that strip mall is the line of demarcation.
Yeah. Now, Beaver Dam gets a little tricky sometimes because when I lived there, we had both the Madison and the Milwaukee channels.
Good example.
So Watertown could be, I think that's pretty strictly Milwaukee.
The Goslings. Whatever.
Rick Goslin, not the mascot for Watertown.
I never should have brought this up.
No, it's been really, I've really enjoyed this, actually.
Point.
Jesse, the game of the day, Denver-Jacksonville, period, Finn. Like, I don't know what time or who's broadcasting it.
What?
You know what I found interesting? Yeah. What I found interesting is CBS has done they've done a quiet promotion. A quiet promotion of J.J. Watt to the number one analyst chair. Something to watch. That game, they're putting Ian Eagle and J.J. Watt on the bigger game this week. When have you ever seen that happen? I haven't seen it. Quiet promotion.
What?
Yeah.
I don't know what to address first on this. Jacksonville, Denver is a 3:05 kickoff on Fox.
Ooh, that's wrong, then.
Ian Eagle and J.J. Watt are calling the Browns-Bills game at noon on CBS.
Why are they playing in Milwaukee?
I was misled. Right, you better check that again, because I was misled.
Okay, I checked. Yep, we're good. I got it. Looking at it right here.
All right, which game is Nance and Romo on?
They are on Steelers-Lions. Aaron Rodgers could clinch the Packers a playoff berth.
That's your 325 game
on Sunday. And Patriots-Ravens, your Sunday night game. Jaguars-Broncos, standalone 305 game on Fox. Neither of the markets we have discussed in Wisconsin slated to get that game. We will either get Vikings-Giants or Chargers-Cowboys in the noon window.
Yeah, they have to stop shoving the Vikings down our throats when the season's over for them. Like, most of us would rather see the Jags-Broncos, two really good teams. They got to start getting better about distribution on that.
Steelers-Lions is the game to watch. I don't know why Mark Tauscher and J.J. Watt and whoever else is promoting the Jaguars and the Broncos game, which is apparently not being broadcast in either of the markets that we were discussing, correct?
And unless you got YouTube TV, it ain't going to be on.
I heard
Beaver Dam, Johnson Creek, Oconomowoc, or anywhere.
Somehow Beaver Dam gets it. We're not sure how, but they do.
Well, here's the thing. If you want to see that game, I'm guessing you take a short drive down to Hard Rock Casino Rockford. I bet they'll have that on a TV somewhere.
That's a good option.
Well, they got a great sports book. They got all kinds of great slots and table games and food. Oh, that UU Noodle Bar. Still need to get down there and get there. But now is the time to experience what true high-limit play feels like, surrounded by the rhythm, indulgence, and the unmistakable energy of the Hard Rock Casino Rockford. We elevate that high-limit room experience and deliver premium table games that are tailored for discerning players. Enhanced game rules include blackjack, where the dealer stands on that soft 17. Enjoy better odds, faster play, and the kind of authentic high-limit action that sets Hard Rock Casino Rockford apart. And they got that great sports book. Not feeling great anymore about our J-Love MVP. A W tomorrow night gets us right where we want to be for our other two. We'll be cashing those. And the great news is it's only going to take Jesse 60 minutes to drive down there to collect our winnings. Again, it's only a 60-minute drive down to Hard Rock Casino Rockford.
Rob Domofsky of ESPN.com joins us next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Please tell me.
I've known you now for 2 years. You have not asked me one dumb question.
First time for everything.
If this one is dumb, I'm just not going to respond. No, you'll just see me turn over here and turn my head.
You should have been here the last 28 years before you.
Sorry. Wow!
I just want to publicly thank Jeff Hafley for not laughing at that joke. And joining us now, the purveyor of zingers in the media auditorium. It is Rob Domofsky on Wilde and Tausch. Rob, good morning. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you guys?
We're great. Thank you.
Rob, do you have that in the holster? Because your timing, I'm telling you, man, that was comedic. Comedically, your timing was money.
It was an easy one. Jason set that up perfectly, you know? I couldn't let it pass. I would have said the same thing to anybody about anybody. It was the joke, not the person.
For a guy that
Jason,
gives me a hard,
you agree with that?
No, he wouldn't. He wouldn't have done that to other people.
Yeah.
For a guy that gives me a hard time for how much I devote my life to my children, are you wearing a homemade sweatshirt?
Oh boy.
Is that what that is?
Lawrence Lawrence men's basketball coach's wife made these and took like cartoon pictures of everybody. There's Hogan right there.
That. Nice.
That's cool.
That's great. That I love it.
Oh, that's a it's a good looking beard. All right.
Is that a beard?
What's his numbers?
What is it?
Pointing to the wrong kid. What's it? Oh, like, just wait. No, he's the redhead with the beard, right? Like Bill Walton.
There's no beard there. It's just a shadow.
What are you talking about? That's not a beard. That's like Bill Walton.
This is like Tausch when he went to a gymnastics meet and cheered for a kid that wasn't Eleanor.
Yeah, I'm seeing it wrong. Rob, give us a quick update on numbers for your kids. What are we at? 12, 20? Like,
it does kind of look like a beard. He's number 10.
Okay. Yeah. All right. What are the stats? Give us the stat line quick. What's the stat line?
Their record 6-3, Tausch, after being 6-19 all of last year. So we're heading in the right direction.
Oh, wow.
I think Hogan's averaging around 9 or 10 a game. So,
okay. And their coach have a radio show also that they gave up, or is this coach been doing this full time for the whole time?
Full time. Although D3 guys probably could use a second job.
Amen to that.
I like that. That was funny.
Thanks. I'm just learning from you. I'm watching you, Rob.
Should have seen the first 28.
Hey, I know, Tausch, real quick, I heard you guys in the last segment talking about the Badger volleyball team and, like, wanting to watch the championship match. So I watched it from start to finish yesterday, and I'll admit I do not know a lot about volleyball. But I don't understand why they didn't set to the Booth kid, like, more often. She was unbelievable. Yep. Like, and, like, in that third – fourth set, they never even went to her. I don't get it.
I know. And she was getting pulled out. I'm not going to judge Kelly Sheffield. I don't know either. But what I do know is the second set is what killed us. We just had error after error. And
service error.
Let's talk Packers. Yeah, because it was a bad loss for the volleyball team. We should have won. And we should be playing.
I enjoy high-level volleyball. I really do.
Oh, it's entertainment-wise, you ain't going to beat it.
Great.
Non-stop action. Yeah. Love it.
As someone who believes in the interest of fairness, how's Roan's season going before we move forward?
Yeah, well, the Eau Claire Blue Golds are ranked 20th in the country and are 10-0. So, he's basically the sixth or seventh guy, first or second guy off the bench as a freshman. So, going pretty well for him.
So the Blue Golds have 10 wins. The Packers have 10 players on their injury report listed as questionable. Who do you
what
like?
A pro.
Yeah, that's me. That's what I do.
Wow.
I got an eyelash in my eye, though, which is frustrating.
The train back on the track.
Of those 10, who do you feel the best about playing? I told Tausch earlier, to me, this is about Evan Williams, Zach Tom, Christian Watson and Josh Jacobs more than anyone else.
Yeah, boy, I don't think Evan Williams is going to go. And from the sound of it, Zach Tom doesn't sound like he's going to go. The question there is it Darian Kennard at right tackle or Jordan Morgan? I wouldn't be totally surprised if, Kennard's been on the injury report this week too. So could we see Jordan Morgan at right tackle where it's about the only position that he really hasn't played? I guess maybe he played a few snaps there. But I would expect Christian Watson to play. Josh Jacobs is an interesting one. He even yesterday in the locker room looked like he was limping a little bit, or at least dragging his leg. But, man, you listen to him, and this is a tough guy, man. He probably should have missed more than one game. Field Yates, our one of our ESPN NFL analysts, and of course he's a fantasy expert, texted me this morning asking me what my gut feeling on him was. And I said, the way he was hobbling around the locker room yesterday, I'd be a little surprised if he plays, but he's so tough that, it wouldn't surprise me. And he just replied back, makes total sense. He is a tough SOB. I wouldn't rule him out, but I would say if anyone was leaning more toward doubtful, I would say it would be, Jacobs, Tom, and Evan Williams. The Christian Watson thing is remarkable. I mean, if probable existed, he'd be probable, right?
Right.
I mean, you go from the emergency room to the practice field in 3 days, and then the game field 6 days later.
You said Jordan Morgan. What's going to happen? What's your best bet? Because I think most of us kind of assumed it was going to be Kennard. Not, is it just an injury thing, or do you think the Packers want to get him back out there?
I think it's a little bit of both, Dausch. I think they probably, you know, maybe they feel like he is a tackle, okay, which the guard experiment ended. And maybe they want to see if he can, how he can do it right tackle. Maybe there's a rotation there. We have seen how many times over the last couple of years them rotate guys. I don't think it's necessarily anything that Kennard has done or not done well. They do like that package with him as the sixth offensive lineman, so maybe they would prefer to only use him in that package and not anybody else. But I just have a suspicion that we could maybe see a rotation there.
Talking with Rob Domofsky from ESPN.com.
Jay, you got that same suspicion? You smell that same, what Rob's cooking?
I'm going to defer to those who were smelling things at practice while I was talking to you.
Well, okay. I mean, we don't. I'll preface it by saying we don't see any 11-on-11 at practice. So nothing from that I saw at practice would necessarily lend toward that because we don't see it. But I just, you know, just from talking to some people, I don't think it's out of the question that Morgan could get a shot.
Well, and I thought, and what I was going to say, Rob, was that when I asked Stenovich about the plan, he was more hemmy and hawy than I ever am. And look, when we look at their history at right tackle, when Zach Tom hasn't been available, Kennard goes in the Lions game. On a short week, they start Belton. Darian Kennard. Well, he's a rookie second round pick, and he's I was surprised by that on a short week with not a lot of time for the guy to prep as a rookie that they started.
Yeah.
Then to Rob's point, they go to Cleveland. Tom plays one snap. Then they go to Jordan Morgan first.
Morgan, yeah.
And then
That's
they have
the
to move Jordan
right
Morgan
tackle.
Right due to the injury. So my feeling is that Rob's probably more clued in than I am, but I thought the way Stenovich hemmed and hawed, and the idea that Kennard is there's a lot of letters on the injury report too, and B, he is that tight end guy, and I don't know if they have another guy, and Steno did say that does factor in, so I'm with Rob. I would not be surprised by that.
Yeah, I think I forgot honestly the Steno thing too, and I think that lends itself even to more speculation.
So if Christian Watson is playing and having the impact that he makes, is it as simple as him playing that makes you feel much better about the Packers winning this game? On the flip side, the Bears are going to be without two of their top three wide receivers.
Yeah, and they were without one or two of them the last time too, right? Adunze did not play in the game here,
correct,
if I'm not mistaken. I mean, like, look, you just look at their offense since week eight when Christian Watson came back. It's been different. You know, it's just been a different way of attacking teams. It's been a different production level. And Christian Watson had a little bit of that flex tape on his shoulder, and that was it, man. Like, I mean, he looked like nothing had happened to him. So I feel good about him and what he means to this offense. I think, you know, Jaden Reed is going to be more and more involved as he gets back. You know, will this be his third game back? So I do think they have a lot of things going for them offensively. Josh Jacobs obviously is a big question mark, but the one game that he didn't play, Emmanuel Wilson was going to say serviceable, but I think he was more than serviceable, with 107 yards. I realized he didn't have any, like, you know, the average wasn't great because he carried it 28 times, but he was definitely more than serviceable.
Rob, you had that great quip, but the answer and how Jeff Hafley carries himself, is there any coach in the 28, 30, however many years you've been doing it, that's been more impressive up there on that podium than Jeff Hafley?
Ooh. That's a hard question. I always thought, and in a different way, Joe Philbin was so smart up there. Joe Philbin was the intelligence and the way he communicate things. Like, it's not necessarily maybe like a rallier, you know, a rally guy. Like, I mean, Halfley is, you know, is a leader of men in that way. But Joe Philbin was impressive up there in his smarts. You know, this goes back a ways, but like from a defensive coordinator standpoint, I mean, Fritz Schirmer was you wanted to play, you know, for Fritz Schirmer, right? If you were a guy who really liked to get after it. Now Schirmer would get after you too. Like, I mean, he would chew butt on anybody. I don't know if Halfley's that way, but Jeff Halfley has everything you'd want in terms of a leader. He's a good coach. He has good schemes. He seems to know how to call plays, and he's good in front of the room. He's an impressive guy.
And what do you think if you're plotting out how his approach will be without Micah Parsons, do you think he feels they're good enough to get home with four consistently? Or do you think he's going to revert back to what? So you think there'll be some simulated pressures and more Edger and Cooper?
I do.
That's what you anticipate?
And Quay Walker and sending him, not sending them, but making it look like they're sending him. I mean, the other thing too, was it Evan Williams or Bullard or McKinney? Those guys blitzed a decent amount last. It wasn't McKinney so much because he was patrolling the back end, but I feel like there was some very timely safety blitzes last year as well, if I remember right. So I think he opens the playbook up and you know dials up all kinds of different stuff. I really think you'll see him go back to that, where, you know, not just saying we can win with four because we've got Micah, and I do think that he will adjust.
And so he said Keyshawn Nixon at times last year as well. To Tausch's and your point, you know, Zinger notwithstanding, the question that prompted that was about how much carryover there is from the stuff that they spent all offseason in training camp. I mean, I'm not saying that they're in any way that they're better without Micah Parsons, but they might be better equipped for that loss than they would have been had they acquired him in March.
That's the first thing I said to Xavier McKinney in the locker room in Denver. I said, look, I go, you guys prepared the whole offseason like you didn't have Micah. And I realized you had Kenny Clark, but like, this isn't the end of the world, right? Like, and I mean, no disrespect to Micah, but like, you prepared for a season without him, without even thinking you were ever going to have him. So and that's when he gave the this blank ain't over, right? Like, this is not over. And I think there's something to that, Jason. I really do.
Rob, which defense is better? And to off of Jason's preface, because any of us that would sit here and make a statement that the defense without Micah is better, but the stats are the stats. And last year's group turned the ball over a lot more than what this defense has. And I think most of the other numbers are pretty similar. How would you kind of rate last year's defense in comparison to what this group's done?
I would push back on the fact that I don't think their pressure numbers were this good last year. I can't give you statistical evidence of that.
Jesse did wash. Jesse's got all. He had a 6-hour car wash that he got all those stats. So he'll put those out after you get done talking.
Okay, all right. I appreciate that. I may use some of that, but no, I do think you're right. I mean, it was a really good defense last year that took the ball away, that maybe didn't pressure the quarterback as well. This year, it's a good defense in terms of pressuring the quarterback and just didn't take the ball away. I have always maintained, Tausch, and maybe I'm wrong, but I think living by the takeaway is a hard way to go, because when you play really good teams in the playoffs that aren't going to turn the ball over, and that's what you relied on all year to win defensively, I think it's a hard way to go in the playoffs. I mean, a lot of those Mike Sherman defenses were, and with Ed Donatell, they were sort of predicated on taking the ball away, and when they couldn't take it away, they didn't go very far in the playoffs. So, now I guess if you look at the flip side of it, there were some key takeaways in that playoff run in 2010, but I don't think that defense necessarily relied on the takeaway. The takeaways were supplemented, to what they already did well.
So you'd say this year's defense is better than last year's?
I do. I think it's better.
Okay.
Yeah, those takeaway defenses, it's especially hard in a playoff game when your quarterback throws six interceptions. Three of them are returned for touchdowns, and Mark Tauscher registers two of the three tackles on the ones that were not returned for touchdowns.
And had, right, they, Rob, who, and had they left him in the game, he probably could have thrown one or two more picks, right?
He
they
definitely could have. Rob, last thing for me, as you get ready to head down to your native land of Chicago, do you have a feel for this game? Like, I've had so many people ask me about what my vibe is, and it's weird that they're playing twice in 13 days.
But I
think the Packers are the better team. I believe that even without Micah Parsons. Where are you on that?
Yeah, I do. And here's the other thing, too, I think, Jason, is that regardless of what happens Saturday night, I don't know if the Bears win another game after that. Even if they win this game, I don't know if they beat San Francisco and Detroit. I would be if I had to bet on whether the Bears would go 2-0 or 0-2 in the next stretch after the final stretch, I would put money on 0-2. So I don't necessarily think this is the end all be all game. It's obviously very important. I do think the Packers, I think they're the better team. I also think that we've seen this over the years, that when a team has so many injuries and, you know, people are, I don't want to say the Packers are being counted out, but when it looks like it's stacked against you, sometimes teams come up and play really well in the face of that. I mean, I know this goes back a long, long way, but I'm guessing you're going to think of the same game I did out in New England. Didn't they sign like three corners off the street or safeties or something off the street? Your memory's way better than mine, but they picked up some guys that basically didn't play, and they went out to New England and won the game.
Bryant Westbrook, former top five pick, has an interception in that game. They signed him on Wednesday, and a guy named Todd Franz, who got the call from the Packers while he was hanging drywall with his father-in-law. Much like when they got Brett Goud, who was pouring concrete when the Packers called him to be the long snapper.
Right. And they obviously didn't, they're not adding any guys off the street, but they are, you know, this is a game where everything you hear, I'm sure on your show, everything you read, this whole week has been about the injuries. Like, that's basically been the storyline this week. So I do think sometimes in those situations, teams rise up and surprise people. And it would not surprise me if the Packers did that.
Do you think they'll promote Colin Oliver or Brenton Cox? They'll activate them off the PUP or IR to help with the pass.
Cox, I can see. Oliver, I don't see anyone. I mean, the guy hasn't – he hadn't done anything since college before last week. I don't see Oliver. I think this was a – you know, let him practice for 3 weeks because he's still got another week of that, I think. Then we'll see. I do think Brenton Cox would not surprise me if they activate him, though.
Rob, did you see the stats Jesse just pulled up? Because I think you'd be surprised at the pressure, or at least the sack numbers.
They were there for a second. Now they're, okay.
20, yeah, he pulled it total down. Defense. I don't know why.
Okay, they were sixth in total defense both years. They were actually better in points allowed last year. They were better in sacks last year. That's a misleading
stat. Yeah, it's surprising, isn't it?
But they were not good in pressures last year. I mean, this is the whole, like, pressure versus sack thing. I mean, the sacks are what everybody looks at. Pressures is a lot higher this year, I would assume. Because their pressure rate last year was, like, 25th in the league.
Okay.
But, yeah, that's surprising. It's definitely a little surprising.
It is, no doubt.
It's more surprising that Jesse made the effort to put together that graphic.
I can't believe he had it ready, actually.
Yeah,
that's good
stuff. Very impressive.
Gel's on a roll this week.
You're a pro, Jesse.
Nice reset after that lengthy car wash on Tuesday, and been rested and ready to go. Yeah.
So, Rob, do you have a basketball game before the big NFC North first place showdown? Yeah. What's the plan there?
The NFL scheduling gods have been good to me. The way they've with some of these games that have been last minute announcements, the Saturday night game allows me to drive to Chicago tonight to see the Lawrence University Vikings that I'm representing here play the Dominican University Stars. I believe they are. Dominican University is located just 20 minutes outside of downtown Chicago I grew up in Chicago. I never heard of Dominican University, so I've learned something new.
Well, now we know what Wildy should do down there. He was asking us for tips.
What's the spread on that game? Yeah, Wildy's coming by to watch. What's the spread? Lawrence favored?
Well, I would think so. Dominican, I believe, is 1-9, so this would be a good one for the Vikings to go into Christmas. So anyway, if it was an afternoon Packers game, I would not be able to go to that game, but I will be going to that game and then covering the Packers game on Saturday night. And then Sunday morning, driving to Eau Claire for a 3 p.m. tip-off between the 20th-ranked Blue Golds and against North Park University, which there's a big Packers connection to North Park University. Do you guys know what it is?
No, tell us.
Big, I don't. What is it?
The athletic facility at North Park University is the Holmgren Athletic Complex. Kathy Holmgren, Mike's wife, and at least one of their daughters attended North Park University, and they have made a very generous donation. In fact, I talked to Coach Holmgren about a week or two for a story, and I brought up the fact that, hey, I was at North Park last year for a game, and he's like, oh, yeah, what a place, huh? So they donated a lot of money to North Park University, which is also in Chicago, but this game is in Eau Claire.
Safe travels. I will see you in the press box on Saturday night. Thanks, bud.
What a wonderful press box it is.
Indeed, in the spaceship. That is Rob Domofsky, America's basketball dad, and he also covers the Packers from time to time. Tausch, speaking of time, the time has come.
Oh, is it really? We should ask Rob. Jesse, how many miles from Chicago to Eau Claire?
No,
that seems
don't
like
answer
a
that
lot.
Question. Don't do it.
It's 12, not going to be 12 miles.
Can you believe it? 12 miles.
I still don't believe the Gary, Indiana one. I'm still struggling with that one. You don't want to do Eau Claire to?
I am looking it up. Chicago. I don't know these things instantly. Hang on. Chicago.
Well, as Jesse is looking that up, if you're looking for the perfect holiday gift, or you just want to upgrade your own gear, you need to check out the sales going on right now at Iron Jock. You know, big believer in their performance apparel. It's tough, it's comfortable, and thanks to their exclusive silver ion technology, it fights that stank. And right now you'll find great deals across their entire lineup, hoodies, tees, shorts, and more. Don't wait. Save big at ironjock.com. That's ironjock.com. Jesse?
It is 316 miles. We are not doing that. We are not.
That is a haul.
We are not.
Okay, that's too much. That's too much. All right, we're gonna go simple.
Well, what if Jesse was going? What if Jesse was going from his hometown of Muskego to Chicago to see Packers Bears and fall asleep in the stands? That's 91 miles from Muskego to Chicago.
Okay, Jesse, is that a little more palatable?
That's much more palatable than 316.
Yeah.
All right, caller 91. Caller 91 to win that Iron Jock tumbler. Again, it is beautiful. It's big. It is gorgeous. And we're so thankful to our partners at Iron Jock to do it. Iron Jock tumbler, 844-770-3776. Caller 91, which is light. I apologize to the streamers, but Jesse's had a hell of a week. Again, caller 91-844-770-3776.
We'll let you know who our winner is, and then we will get ready for our Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week. So stick around. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Jesse, how'd caller 91 work out for you?
Quite well. Dale in Reedsburg was our winner of our Iron Jock tumbler today. Congratulations to Dale, and he has informed me that he has taken on the project of reviewing trivia results in 2025 and is in the process of compiling statistics and standings for us to put together a trivia tournament of champions.
I ain't gonna lie to you. Jason, I'm not gonna lie to you. it never ceases to amaze me, our fans. I every time I think, man, we have great fans and we have a loyal group, somebody will do something that kind of makes you go, I can't believe that. Dale, we appreciate you. And we need it because otherwise we would have just made it up. So this is really nice.
And no one is going to go double check your work. So whatever you tell us is
you
what
have
we're going with.
Full. And by the way, I don't know. Dale is a frequent trivia contestant also, right? Is that fair?
Yeah, he's frequently in our text, the Carbless Talking text line. So he's all over.
Here's the
show.
Deal.
Yeah.
Unless you guys want to veto this, which is in a democracy like we have on this show, it is possible that you can do that.
Right.
I think I might not allow it, but that's neither here nor there.
Democracy.
Dale, I look at our trivia like the World Cup. Dale is now the host. Dale gets in the tournament. If he does all this work, he is the host country. He gets in he gets an auto bid. Because he's doing all this work, is that fair?
Yeah, as long as Dale does not come back here's an upset. Dale is the number one seed in the tournament. I think it's fine that he's in the tournament.
I told you, I am not going to go back and check the work. If he says he's the number one seed, go for it.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. Sometimes things don't need to be said. That would be one that doesn't need to be said. I don't think anyone for a minute was thinking you were going to do a full audit of any of the trivia.
What competition would you put together a bracket and put yourself as the number one seed? What would you feel confident enough that I'm going to organize this for everyone and I'm the number one seed because I'm the best?
Sheep said.
Analogy competition.
Sheep said.
Yeah. Parallel parking. I'd feel pretty good about parallel
that again.
Parking. You asked, what would you put in?
Delegating.
No, there's people better.
I don't know anymore.
Bowling?
Bruss beat
would
me
you not
in bowling.
Bowling?
No,
yeah,
I can't.
Tough.
Yeah. I got nothing.
Jason would put himself parenting, probably would be at the top.
Nah, he's number
think.
One
I don't
seed,
know what,
where parent would, bracket.
I love what, look at that. I love when he gives that sigh. Jason, what would you put yourself as the number one seed in?
I wouldn't put myself as the number one seed for anything, but I would put you as the number one seed when it comes to talking about Coors Light.
Yeah, ooh. That's a good one.
Yeah, I think that's a good one, too. Coors Light Brewed with a 3-step cold process. Cold lager, cold filtered, and cold packaged, so it is made to chill those mountains. Make sure they're blue. That's when you know Coors Light is chilled to perfection. That's why it is always a Coors Light in my hand when I need a moment to chill. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company, at Golden, Colorado.
The Steinhoffel's Sleepers of the Week.
Speaking of putting yourself number one.
Well, not me. I'm in third blank in place, according to our new analytics firm that nobody hired or even consulted with. But when there's a vacuum, power just falls in line, and that's what we left. I left a vacuum, and the AFC team has jumped in there.
Democracy.
FIFA. We will get to our Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
This is quite the Christmas tune. Time now for our Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week.
Don't sleep, you gotta stay up.
Hey there, sleepyhead. Wakey, wakey.
Okay, campers, rise and shine.
It's time for the Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week on Wilde and Tausch.
It is time for the Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week. I have not been checking the standings, but apparently Tausch is in last place, even though he always
tweet.
Goes first.
Just got a tweet. Yep, I do go first, and I've I don't know if I'd say I've had a bad season. I'm still hovering around the top of the leaderboard, too, and this is going to be an easy one for me this week. Don't know about Josh Jacobs's how much he's going to be able to play, availability, et cetera, et cetera. Rob kind of cast a little aspersion that he might not even play, which is surprising. I think he still finds a way to get out there, but this game is going to be through the air. And I think Jordan Love is going to showcase himself. Can't go Christian Watson, but I can go with the top pick and somebody that I think is ready to emerge and somebody I think can have a big day. I think our boy's ready to make a big splash, much like Davante Adams in a big-time game against the New England Patriots. This is a big-time game. This is the NFC North for the G&G. And I think MG is going to be the guy that makes some big plays in this game. Matthew Golden, my Steinhoffel sleeper of the week.
I think it's a great choice. I predict that you will win. And not just because I'm about two-thirds of the way through writing my Matthew Golden story.
It's part
after
of
a conversation with him. But it may have factored in, for sure. Jesse, who are you taking?
I'm going reverse psychology this week for the Steinhoffel sleeper of the week.
Mm.
You know who's
Colby Wooden again?
You know who's
taking Manung guy?
No, no. You know who's been on the field a bunch on offense the last couple of weeks?
Bo Melton.
Bo Melton. You know who had a big play for a touchdown against the Bears 2 weeks ago?
Christian Watson.
A couple of players, but Bo Melton is who I was looking for there. The Bears are going to go into. There's no way they're going to draw something up for Bo Melton again. Right? They just pulled that card against us. They won't do it again. And that's where I think LaFleur's going to say, ha-ha, we did it again. They didn't see it coming. Bo Melton.
It's too bad we can't play Britney Spears music because that's perfect for a oops, I did
oops,
it again.
Oops, I am going to go with Bo Melton as my Steinhoffel's sleeper of the week. And if he doesn't do anything on offense, you never know. He could also do something on defense or special teams. So I got multiple chances to win. Bo Melton.
Was that our was that the 2023 opener that Quay Walker had a pick in the game and
yes,
rookie sensation Luke Musgrave got wide open for a deep ball down the field and then Bambied it near the goal line? Is that am I remembering that correctly?
I think that's
you
it.
Could.
I,
the Quay Walker pick for sure. I don't remember the Musgrave play.
Yeah, he's all alone and he trips and falls over like the 12-yard line.
Yeah, he Bambied it.
I'm sticking. The tight ends have been good to me. And I don't think.
What, because Chipotle Ben gave you a little extra salsa?
I miss Chipotle Ben. I don't think I've picked this guy, though. I picked Josh Wiley 1 week. Not the right week, but I
He's
picked
not
him.
Playing.
He is out he with playing. A concussion. I picked John Fitzpatrick. Fitzy, as they call him. Creative nickname. And I believe he won it for me last week. So I'm going to stick with the tight ends. I'm going to take
Luke
Musgrave.
What the hell did he do last week? How'd you win last week?
I don't know. I'm just checking the statistics here, though, and I emerged victorious.
He had like one catch, didn't he?
I don't know, but he's not my pick. Luke Musgrave, bambying his way into the end zone in the Packers' win tomorrow night at Soldier Field. Those are our Steinhoffel sleepers of the week. You can get yours in across our social media channels when we share ours. Steinhoffel's, of course, the best place for your furniture needs. And right now, it's the last weekend of Steinhoffel's 12 Days of Christmas sale. Right now, save 10% or more throughout the store, and you can pay later with an 18-month 0% interest financing opportunity. Plus, check out all the incredible holiday deals like a queen mattress for just $299 and sofas and queen beds for only $399. Get more holiday for less during Steinhoffel's 12 Days of Christmas sale. Shop in-store or online anytime at steinhoffels.com. Sale ends Sunday. We will kick off the 11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch in 2 minutes. So stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.